the way that you manage time is also the way that you manage your energy throughout the day. You don't only have finite time, you also have finite energy.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many other things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and heavy topics, you'll gain fresh insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. This fun and quirky podcast is sponsored by ScaleWind, outsourcing made smarter. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Welcome, welcome, and good morning. This is Carla for yet another amazing week here at None of Your Business. We talk about time management this week, and I'm going to discuss about this topic. I have given a lot of seminars, webinars, workshops about time management. I actually had a program called Time Stewardship, where I taught people how to reframe a lot of their principles around time management and think about it as time stewardship, where you don't really manage time. Instead, you're given time and you're just its caretaker or its steward. So I guess our lessons are coming in fast and hard right now, starting with that little reframe that I told you about. So before we start, I want to thank our sponsor, ScaleWind. If you are in need of any outsourcing service that's centered in customer support, virtual assistants, graphic design, and also if you need any copywriters, content, repurposing VAs, and any help that you need to start and grow your business, definitely go to scalewind.com and get all the help you need. It will definitely also help in providing you more time for yourself so that you can definitely ace this time management thing. So today is another special day. It will only be a solo episode. I don't have any other guests today, but this is also a part of my series called Carla's Greatest Hits, where I'm going to share 15 principles about a certain topic. I talk about my insights, my learnings, and my best lessons. I'm going to share them with you. And a lot of these topics I'm really, really passionate about, and I really have practiced these principles throughout the years. Nevertheless, these principles have helped me a lot in business, improving my health, improving, you know, relationships around me. As entrepreneurs, it's not very easy to navigate life with a lot of things coming at you in different, you know, coming at you from different places. You know, there's work, there's relationships, there's family, there's investing or taking care of your finances, taking care of your health, getting enough sleep, you know, trying to look good, getting a hair treatment. I don't know. Your day must be super crazy, and I definitely empathize with you. And I have actually decided to do this podcast because I have reached out to a lot of my friends and they tell me, you know, a regular response when I ask, how's life? You know, how are you? A regular, almost automatic knee-jerk response would be, oh my gosh, I'm super busy. I'm just busy, busy. And this word busy sometimes becomes a scapegoat. And it's a very easy thing for us to say as an excuse to the fact that maybe we have not been that good at managing our time. And, or, you know, I'm not saying that people who say they're busy are not good time managers, because I also say I'm busy. But what I'm trying to say is that it becomes like our automatic reply, first of all, to improve or attempt to bond with a fellow entrepreneur, because they understand you're busy. They could also be busy, very likely that they're also busy. But at the same time, it's also kind of a way for us to remind ourselves that we're doing the right thing because we're working so hard. However, in business, you know, throughout, I would say 13, 14 years of doing business, I would say being busy is not really like the best badge of honor. Personally, the best badge of honor is your peace, your health, the relationships of people around you, and how much you help your customers, how much you care about them, how much you serve them, and how much your team believes in you, your leadership. So a lot of these other metrics you can actually improve on if you learn to manage your time well. So on that note, let's start. So number one principle, think of your time as an investment. So we are only given enough time, basically the same amount of time every day, 24 hours. All of us have the same number of hours in a day. So when we are deciding what to do or which activities to pick, we have to remind ourselves that time is an investment and we need to do a lot of high ROI stuff and let go of the low ROI stuff. So for example, which one of these activities would help yield more business for you? Is it scrolling through TikTok mindlessly? Mindlessly is the key word here because your job might be, you know, a TikTok manager and you actually have to go on TikTok for hours. So scrolling on TikTok mindlessly or calling a client to ask for a referral. So obviously, you know that the latter is a high ROI item to do in your business. You know, in your personal life, you might choose between spending time with your husband by doing an activity that both of you like. For example, an interactive one, like maybe both of you like to play pool or bowling, or you both love gardening. And at the same time that you're doing and enjoying this hobby, you're also talking to your partner, you're also enjoying their company, or watching a movie where you're staring at a screen and you're not talking to each other. So which one do you prefer? Which one do you think is more high ROI or low ROI? So the thing with this mindset is that it just keeps you conscious on the choices that you make with what to do with your time. On that note, number two tip, say no more often and don't feel guilty about it. We have a lot of social pressures going around, you know, trying to keep relationships active and busy, quote unquote, busy, you know. Sometimes you say yes to a lot of social commitments or even chores at home or even in your business. Maybe you said yes to a lot more podcast episodes than you can handle and promote. So practice to be conscious on what activities you like. That's number one. And activities that give you high ROI, whether it's financially or emotionally or mentally. And of course, along with that, I want you to practice saying no more often about the things or off the things that are kind of a low ROI activity for you, and learn how to feel basically good about saying no, not being guilty about it. And if you have to say no to a friend and you're scared that you don't, you know, want to offend them or you don't want them to feel bad because you refuse their invitation or something, just explain to them with, you know, gentleness and compassion that, you know, I'm really tired. I have been working 16 hours for the past 3 weeks, 16 hours a day. And I would really love if I could just get 8 hours of sleep tonight. So I'm sorry I can't attend your soiree or something like that. Or, you know, any other invitation, even if it's an event that you have to fly for or that you have to speak for, if it doesn't feel right and if it doesn't give you high ROI in terms of personal utility, personal satisfaction, or ROI for your business, just learn to say no. It's okay. Tip number three, be real and honest with yourself. So a lot of the things we're discussing right now as we are starting this, you know, Carla's Greatest Hits featuring time management is really principle management. Like we have to start thinking about time a certain way. And so part of that is number three, being real and honest with yourself. Do a time audit. How much time do you really spend doing certain things? I have recently found myself to have been watching too much TV and using it as an excuse because I'm tired and I want to zone out or something like that. But I realize that it is a very low ROI activity, and I have started to enjoy reading more or just getting more sleep and started going to the gym more. So also don't feel bad if you go in phases where you're just kind of feeling like you want to zone out. It's okay. Honestly, it's okay. If you want to binge watch something on Netflix for a weekend, that's fine. The thing is, you have to be real and be honest with yourself. And you have to be conscious of these choices that you're making. So do a real audit of how much you spend your time and look at ways to make your experience better so that you can achieve, you know, better efficiency in business. You can achieve the most utility and satisfaction in your personal life. And of course, I want you to feel really good with yourself. I want you to feel happy. I want you to feel not guilty. I want you to feel rested. So these are the states that you want to be in. And one of the ways that you can get to those states is if you can be real and be honest with yourself and do a time audit and try to see the activities and audit these activities that you spend your time with. Number four. Busy is fiction. So this goes back to what we were discussing earlier. Busy is not really real most of the time. Everyone is busy and not busy at the same time. Honestly, it just depends on your priority. So I have been really for real busy. So a lot of you know that one of my first businesses is a flower shop. So if you're listening and if you're in Davao City, Philippines, I would love if you could check out our flower shop, Gifts Davao Free Delivery. We're very active on Facebook. I've had this business for 13 years. And in this business, we do have a busy season, which is our Valentine's season. And every time it's February, we're super duper busy taking care of the orders, literally almost doing 24/7 customer support, taking orders and promoting, you know, trying to put our office in order, trying to hire and interview new people, setting our fleet right. How many motorcycles do we need? How many vans? So it's really super busy. But at that time, I also make sure that I get my priorities in place. If I have a partner, I make sure that I still take care of him. Now that I'm spending time in Davao or in my flower shop with my sister and my niece, who is literally a toddler, she's 2 years old and very cute. I want to spend time with her as well. And she's definitely a part of my priority. So no matter how busy I am, I always find time to put certain things in priority. There's certain friends like my best friends. No matter how busy I am, I always make time for them. And there are items in my self-care that no matter how busy I am, I always make time for it. So busy is actually fiction. If something is really a priority for you, you will do it and you'll just do it. No problem. Our tip number five is a principle introduced by Brian Tracy, and it's called eat that frog. Sounds disgusting, right? Eat that frog. So actually, I also recommend that you read that book by Brian Tracy, Eat That Frog. It's a book about time management. And the principle that he introduced by quote unquote eating that frog is to get over the most daunting, the biggest and ugliest task in the morning. And then once you get that out of your way, you'll feel so much better when you go throughout your day and you do the other tasks. So the thing that happens in our brains and in our bodies when we finish a task is it gives us a dopamine boost. Or dopamine is a hormone that your brain releases that gives emotional rewards for getting something, for acquiring something. You know, dopamine is very high when you go to a casino, when you're anticipating something or anticipating the getting of something. So it's very reward driven, and that hormone is fired off by our body when we feel fulfilled. And one of the best ways to achieve that, the firing of this hormone, is if you achieve certain tasks. And in fact, even the mere act of checking off or ticking off a box in your to-do list actually gives you a dopamine rush that helps you, that helps drive you to have energy to do the next task. So the principle of eating that frog is to get over with the biggest, most daunting, probably most important task of your day, so that you feel that big rush and then it helps purport you into doing the other tasks throughout the day. So check out that book, Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy. Principle number six, always remember the principle of deep work. So the principle of deep work, also a famous book, Deep Work by Cal Newport. Also check out his TED Talk about deep work. It's all about doing work that's 100% focused, unadulterated, highly focused work. No bathroom breaks, no music, just complete silence. No other windows open, just doing one job and finishing that job. So the principle of deep work works because your main focus is just on one thing. And the tendency for us is because we're so overstimulated with all the lights, all of our devices, all of the items that we put inside our house. We're very maximalist now. You're actually a rebel if you're a minimalist, right? So we have so many items, so many colors, so much stimuli. Sometimes it's hard to not be distracted. And so sometimes when we're trying to do work, we get distracted. We don't do deep work. So when you remember the principle of deep work and just trying to shut off everything and deciding, this is the most important part, deciding that you're going to do this task and this task alone, that is actually very, very powerful. So don't forget the principle of deep work. Number seven, Parkinson's Law. So you can Google this, guys. Parkinson's Law refers to a theory or a principle that says that work expands and contracts depends on the time you give it. So work, or the time that you allot for doing a job reasonably, is sometimes very malleable. So one very good example for this would be if you went to college, your thesis, your college thesis. So most professors give out the thesis, you know, announcement at the start of the semester. And, you know, you have the entire semester to work on your thesis. A lot of the professors also accept drafts, and then they give you advice. They give you recommendations. They give corrections so that you can improve your thesis along the way. A lot of the students don't take this advantage, or don't take advantage of this, and they just do their thesis literally like the last 3 days before submission, and they pull all-nighters and they're absolutely procrastinating. So what does that say? It says that making and finishing a thesis, you know, notwithstanding the quality, just doing it and finishing it, can be done in one semester or 3 days. And it will, the work that you put in it will expand or contract, depends on what you decide the time would be like for you. So I also noticed this, a simpler example would be eating. When I was a full-time event planner, I have an event planning business too. I still have it, but I've led it, and I've led the operations for almost 10 years. And I remember I actually timed the actual time that I take when I'm eating lunch, like when I'm chewing and eating lunch. I remember usually I would take 5 to 8 minutes to actually eat lunch if I'm just eating lunch or eating a meal and I had no distractions. And I remember when I was so busy in between events, I had to eat like a hot dog sandwich while I was in a taxi because it's the only time I could eat. So of course, if I go on a date, say with my boyfriend, and we go to this restaurant of course, I would eat for like an hour or two, right? So I could eat for 8 minutes or I could eat for 2 hours. It depends on how much time I decide to give it. So that means that, once again, Parkinson's law is at work. You know, work expands and contracts depending on the time you decide to give it. So if you're looking at your tasks, if you're absolutely focused, you might be surprised how malleable or how negotiable the time is, even though the task looks very, very daunting to you. So another example, last example is writing. I have written a 500-word article that has that I had to do for like 5 days. I had to do like one paragraph a day because it's the only way, it's the only way my brain could take it, if that makes sense. I just wasn't in the mood to write, but I needed to write this article and I wanted it to be of high quality. So I didn't overwork myself. I didn't try to finish all 500 words in one go. And what I did is I batched it up to 100 words at a time. But when I was a full-time writer, when I was doing SEO full-time in 2009, I remember writing 2,500 words. And I actually remember writing with my typing speed 500-word articles for like 10 minutes. So it could be 10 minutes or it could be 5 days. Once again, a very good example of the Parkinson's law at work. Tip number 8 is note take, or take down some notes and be more comfortable with it. Even if you do it, you know, even if you're more old school, like me, I have notebooks. I have an idea notebook where I write my ideas. I have one notebook for every business that I have. I have a notebook to plan my finances. I used to actually record my net worth every month. I think I should start doing that again. But if you're super comfortable writing down notes, it really, really makes a difference. Even if you do it on your phone, if you remember something, you don't want to forget it, just take down some notes. And also, as another principle, you know, shooting off of this is I want you to be comfortable in using technology. So a lot of our phones now have built-in calendars. They have built-in world clocks. It's very, very easy to plan things with different kinds of people from different parts of the world. You'll easily see your calendar. You'll easily see your schedule from like even 6 months from now. And so if you're just really comfortable with planning, with note-taking, it will make your life easier and it will make your whole time management experience so much better. So it's not only nerds that take down notes, guys. So every responsible person should really be comfortable with this activity. All right. Tip number 9, get good sleep. I can't believe I'm still talking about this. As you can see, I'm very passionate about getting good sleep because good sleep gives you good energy and it gives you a way, way better backdrop for doing your tasks and managing your time throughout the day. So if you're like me, my day is usually jam-packed, but I do make time to do some self-care like meditation, reading, learning about new things, listening to a podcast, going to the gym, going for yoga. So I do these things, obviously not all of them every day in one day. But one of the things that really helps me not drag myself into these things, not be late at things, is if I have good sleep and if I have good energy. So getting good sleep is really important in being more conscious about the way that you manage time, because the way that you manage time is also the way that you manage your energy throughout the day. You don't only have finite time, you also have finite energy. And also, as a bonus, since you're already listening to this podcast, go back to some episodes back. I have another podcast episode with Lisa Beth Len. She's a functional medicine practitioner, and we talked about sleep and we talked about how to get good sleep, benefits of good sleep for entrepreneurs, benefits of rest. And we really went into a deep dive on nutrition as well. So I want you to check that episode out. Get good sleep, guys. That's tip number 9. Tip number 10 is develop an end of day habit. So developing an end of day habit is any routine that helps put your mind at ease in closing the day that you have and preparing for the next day. A very, very good way to do this is merely to record or write down your tasks for tomorrow, and you can even arrange it based on your priority and doing some sort of an end of day routine. One very good routine that you can tie with writing down your tasks for the next day is actually a beauty routine at night. So if you have a really good winding down and or a beauty routine, or if you have a sleep routine where you turn on your Himalayan salt lamps and your essential oils and you kind of start to wind down and relax, that's also really, really good, because in terms of your brain, you're training your brain to wind down, and you're sending a message to your brain that, hey, it's okay, you can relax now. And whatever that needs to be done tomorrow, we will do that tomorrow, and we will deal with that tomorrow. So this is a very good way of just training your body and training your brain to get more rest, a higher quality of rest, and better sleep, which turns into great energy for the next day and greater time management, higher level of consciousness. Basically, it's just benefits all around. So develop an end of day habit. Number 11, I want you to remember this principle, difference between switch tasking and multitasking. So the term multitasking refers to basically someone doing at least two tasks at the same time. So we use this term sometimes when we're working on two things, but we are actually flailing in between two things. And what happens is that when your brain switches from one activity to another, there is actually a lag in your brain in terms of focus. And so with that, the work actually takes a lot longer than if you just did an individual task with deep work and deep focus. So sometimes what we're doing, especially say when we have a lot of windows open or tabs open in our computer, is we're actually switch tasking, you know, pressing that alt tab button. And so we're not really multitasking, because these no two tasks can run at the same time. I mean, unless they do. If you're multitasking like one window, you're downloading something and it takes an hour to download that, and while you're waiting for that, you're working on your emails. So that is multitasking. Or you're doing your laundry and your laundry is running, and while you're waiting for that, you're shooting this podcast episode. So that is also multitasking, because two tasks can literally happen at the same time. But if you look at how your brain behaves this way, you're actually forgetting that the one of the tasks is happening. So you don't have to monitor one of the tasks. So that's multitasking. So I introduce this principle to you because I want you to remember that there is a difference between switch tasking and multitasking, and you have to be aware of this. And, you know, sometimes we feel like we're multitasking just so we can feel better about ourselves, but what we're actually doing is switch tasking, which is actually worse. Like I said, deep work is so much better. Deep focus is so much better. And not switching between two things is so much better, because even if you add the time that you take in finishing both of those tasks, you still end up spending way less time when you sum them up than if you switched between two tasks, you know, back and forth, back and forth. I'm sure that the brain lag that you experience will be visible at the very end, and you'll have spent more time and you have had budgeted less focus, and you might even feel more tired. You know, I would wager that you would actually feel more tired when you switch tasks, in terms of just trying to overwork yourself or trying to achieve more things at once. Another principle that I want you to know is batch tasking, or you can do like a task stack or this is, I would say, the best example for this one would be chores at home. So one of my favorite things to do right now is if there's a task that I can do in bulk, I'll just do it. I think in general, it still saves more time. So for example, cooking, right? Instead of cooking every day, maybe you can cook one big meal and then you can meal prep throughout the week. And it's way less time to cook, do all the preparation. It's one batch of cleaning, and it also saves you some decision-making time, which gives you more time for your other tasks throughout the week. So I recently actually started meal prepping, and I really love it. So it gives me way more time to focus on other things throughout the week, and it also helps me control what I eat. Another example for this, since you guys are all business owners, are, for example, emails. I actually don't like the activity of writing emails so much, but if I just write them in one go, if I send a weekly email, then I'll just write 4 emails in one go when I'm on a plane or when I have 30 minutes to spare, or even when I'm doing my nails or getting my nails done. Sometimes I just write emails and then it's good to go. And it's so much easier for me if I write that way, or if I batch my tasks that way, because that is the time I decide to allot on that task. And on that task and at that time, I decide to focus on it. And so I get more output out of it. So batch tasking is also a really, really good strategy. Tip number 13, there is a principle called Sunday Scaries. I read about this actually while using my Headspace app. It is a term that people connote or use to refer to that time during like Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, where you're already thinking of the week ahead and you're kind of not excited. And because of that, you don't get to relax and you don't get to enjoy the last few hours of your weekend. So this is mostly for people who have a more regular work schedule, you know, people who work Monday to Friday and then they have weekends off. So they call this Sunday afternoon or Sunday night moment Sunday Scaries, because they already feel scared of the incoming week. But I actually have a very good reframe for this. Why don't we call it Sunday Treats? This has actually been a practice of mine for many, many years. Every Sunday afternoon, I spend 30 minutes to 1 hour to look at my week ahead and to plan the most important things for that week, making sure that those things are achieved. And if I have more energy, sometimes I actually start doing them that time on that Sunday. So it's actually mostly planning. It's a little bit of doing, but this is really a really good time management strategy, because it helps also train your brain to be more forward thinking, to be more goal focused, and instead of being task focused. So when you have an eagle's eye view of what you have to accomplish for the rest of the week, you can prioritize according to that. And then you also have kind of a general idea on what you need to achieve. And you don't feel bad if you don't achieve some of these little things that are not as important. So Sunday is a good day to decide all of that, or whatever you decide your rest day is. All right, we're almost done here. Our next principle is, how close are you to the money? I actually love this time management principle. I actually teach it to my appointment setters and all of my salespeople when they are overwhelmed on which leads to follow up. I ask them, who is closest to the money? What activities bring you closer to the money? So is it following up this client, sending a cold email, or replying to DMs? There are certain parts of the sales activity where you know you're super close to closing that deal. And so even if you're not a salesperson, you're a business owner or whatever job you have, you're in real estate or you own a salon, there are certain tasks that are just close to the money, or that just help you really get revenue. It's really tied to an outcome, which is revenue. And these activities, you have to know these activities so that you can prioritize them. I also teach this principle, or used to teach actually, because I don't run it anymore, in my cash flow coaching program. And that coaching program, was I taught people how to basically increase their cash flow in their life and their business, and to fight debt and to increase the cash flow of their business. So I worked with them on their offers so that they can have better cash flow, they can have better lead generation, they can close more deals. And I helped them to really take the action of doing what I referred to as 10 cash flow tasks per day. And these tasks are directly related to making money. So it's an accountability course. It was an accountability course, but at the same time, it was super focused on revenue generation activities for your business and growth. So it had a lot of really, really good results. In fact, I think I sold that out 7 times or something, but it was really successful. And I really enjoyed doing that. But here I am, I'm sharing it to you for free. So, you know, basically thinking about which activities bring you closer to the money, that is also a good time management tactic, because you are putting a price tag, or now, you know, the stakes are real. Maybe now you shouldn't actually waste more time, because now you can see that time is actually equals money. And of course, our last tip for the day, automate as much as you can. So there's so many tools now, not just on time management, but also for your business. So we have AI products now that can give you so much, you know, automated assistance and things in your business that used to get done in an hour can just now get done in like 3 minutes, or maybe even in a matter of seconds. It just really depends on you to embrace technology, you know, do your research and ask from people around you who are better than you at this, and those who are ahead of you in the game. There's no shame in asking for advice. And of course, after you've automated everything, if there are still tasks that you don't want to do, always remember that you can pass them on to me and my team, maybe at Skillwin or at Proximity. Just reach out and find me on social media and let me help you with that. So let us go back to the 15 time management principles that I shared here. Let's do a quick run through. I hope you took down notes, and I hope you learned something from this podcast. Number one, think of your time as an investment. Only focus on the high ROI stuff. Number two, say no more often and don't feel guilty about it. Number three, be real and honest with yourself. Do a time audit of how you spend your days and see how you feel about it. Make some changes. Number four, busy is fiction. It only really depends on your priorities, so make sure that you prioritize well. Number five, eat that frog, or just get the biggest, most daunting task over with. Number six, remember the principle of deep work. It's introduced by Cal Newport. Definitely check out his TED Talk and his book, Deep Work. It's full of a lot of really, really good lessons. Number seven, the principle of Parkinson's Law. Work expands and contracts depending on the time that you decide to give to it. So as you can see, this podcast actually subliminally reminds you all the time that it's your decision, that you have to be consciously making this decision on how you spend your time. And this is all on you, and you have full control of this. You have full power to dictate how your life looks like and how you feel in that moment and how rested you are, how energized you are. And that really depends on you guys. You can decide how to manage your time. Tip number eight, be more comfortable with note-taking. Use apps, use notebooks, use whatever you want. Number nine, get good sleep. It leads to good energy and ultimately leads to great time management. Tip number 10, develop an end-of-day habit so that your brain can start practicing winding down for the day and passing off the responsibility for the next day. This makes up for kind of a really peaceful and restful sleep, which induces, you know, serotonin, melatonin, all the good hormones that your body needs to keep moving and to keep basically existing in a high at a high level of health and comfort. Tip number 11 is remember the principle of switch tasking versus multitasking. Tip number 12, remember to batch your tasks if you can. Some of the examples I shared were meal prepping or writing emails. You can just spend one, maybe full block of hour to do something that will gain you a lot of saved time throughout the week. Number 13, reframe Sunday scaries into Sunday treats, which means that you don't need to be scared of the week ahead, no matter how busy it is. All you need to do is to spend that 1 hour or maybe even 30 minutes on Sunday to plan your week ahead, to kind of have an eagle's eye view of your tasks and what the biggest goals are that needs to be achieved or done. Number 14, how close are you to the money? This is another time management principle that I love sharing with entrepreneurs. You know, I use this principle to train my sales team or my setters, and it really, really reflects good results because it helps remind people, or it helps just kind of change your mindset and change your viewpoint on what tasks you should prioritize. So like I said earlier, busy is fiction. It depends on your priority, but how do you teach yourself to prioritize the right things? This is one of the ways that you can teach yourself how to do that, especially if you're an entrepreneur and your concern is revenue generation and revenue optimization. How close are you to the money? Which of these tasks provide a direct effect to your bottom line? Or, you know, how many of these tasks actually contribute to your cash flow? Number 15, automate as much as you can. Take advantage of all of the good tools that are available in the market. And if you've automated as much as you can, the next step is to delegate. And when you're ready to outsource, just find me and I'll definitely help you out, give you some advice, whether we work together or not. I just really want to know what your goals are and see what is the next best step for you. So that's it for today. I hope you liked Carla's Greatest Hits, the Time Management Edition. Please leave a review on my Spotify feed and on Apple Podcasts. And if you like this episode, please also share it to someone that you love and care about so that you can also help them enjoy and get the most out of their lives, help them manage their time better, which ultimately leads to more joy, more peace, better business, better relationships around us. It's all really just a win all throughout. So thank you so much for joining me. See you next week for another round of fun and insightful conversations only here at None of Your Business. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Scalewind, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit scalewind.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.